Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to You Talk, part of the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Network. Providing unbiased opinions on all things UW football and basketball.
Welcome to this edition of the You Talk podcast, episode 38. I'm back. For those who missed me, Grant Bagby at Grant TBS, Torn by Sports. Joining me as always is Joseph.
Hey, everybody.
Hope you guys enjoyed our guest host last week. Batman himself, Kenneth Scott, was here. And, well, I kind of wish we could just play that one again and not have to discuss what happened last Saturday.
The podcast was the best part of Utah football last week,
for sure. But before, let's not get too deep into the game yet. We'll get into the depression management a little later, but let's do our quick hitters. And first, let's start with what happened around the Pac-12. And you know what? I'm just going to go with what I thought was the more shocking item of business. Notre Dame crushes USC 49-14.
Crushed them. And it wasn't like, oh, they turned the ball over a couple times late, and there was this, they ran on them at will. They destroyed them. It was an embarrassing loss. Darnold was terrible, and it's really important as you're if you kind of look at how the whole league, the whole NCAA works together. Out of conference wins like this are crucial for a conference's bowl hopes. I mean, whether or not you want to get a team in the playoff, you really want to get two teams in the New Year's Six. This year, the Rose Bowl is one of the playoff games, so both bids to the New Year's Six have to be at large. They can't be there's no automatic bid to the New Year's Six. So it's really important that you win these big out-of-conference games. Because whether or not USC winds up being the best team, that win kind of propagates. So if ASU beats USC next week, well, then they kind of beat Notre Dame by proxy when the committee's looking at things. They factor that in. So that was, I mean, that was a brutal, brutal blow to, we're already dwindling playoff hopes for the Pac-12. And just overall, there aren't any It was a lack of separation weekend. Every team that we felt like, oh, well, maybe this team is kind of starting to break. Maybe Arizona's really, really good. Maybe Utah's really, really good. Nope. Every team has problems, and every team has good things. And the only performance that was as expected was Washington State. But we thought we'd see better out of Colorado. So there was a lot of disappointment around the league, I think, for a lot of fans, although – the ASU fans are fairly insufferable at this point, and I think we're all hoping for USC to put them back in their place here.
Well, I'm glad I haven't encountered any of those ASU fans yet. But so you touched on it, Washington State crushed Colorado. I would expect Colorado to put up more than a goose egg, but Washington State's defense isn't bad. So 28-0. Other happenings, UCLA beat Oregon 31-14. I'm impressed UCLA's defense was that good. Oregon's offense is that bad.
Without Justin Herbert, Oregon, the last three games has just been terrible. And it sounds like Herbert's back. We'll talk about that more later and see if that may right the ship for them.
And then in double overtime, Arizona pulls out one against Cal, 45-44.
It's a thriller.
So that's what's happened around the Pac-12. Our other thing is, you know, as much as last week was very depressing, it seems like visits have been going pretty well and recruiting might be on the uptick.
Utah hasn't had any commits in a little bit, but we're bringing in a lot of really impressive talent, particularly offensive skill position talent, ton of wide receivers. couple of five-star guys, some of the best players in the country, and they've been very, very impressive. I mean, getting them in for an official visit is a big deal, but they've come away talking really positively. And my guess is that over the next 2 or 3 weeks, we're going to get at least a commitment or two from a really, really high-end wide receiver prospects. They're targeting players like Darren Carrington. I think we're going to wind up with commitments from those kind of players.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully so. I mean, obviously, based on the offensive output, we need some of those skill players. But, let's talk the terrible talk of ASU. Ultimately, the main thing that we have talking about here has apparently become more of a hot topic on social media is should Huntley have been pulled?
Yeah. I don't think so. I mean, everybody keeps saying that it was a mistake to leave him in, but I mean, you ride with your guy and the offense needs Tyler Huntley to work, to be the kind of offense that you need. And when you're down 16-0 at the half, bringing in Troy Williams, some people are even saying Cooper Bateman, but bringing in one of these sort of game manager types for the second half isn't going to win you the game. If you're up 16-0, maybe it makes sense because you're not going to lose the game with them. You're not going to get that pick six that happened at the end of the game, things like that. But that dynamic ability of Huntley is what Utah needed to have work to win the game. And in fact, it didn't work. Stinks, but there was no way to win.
Here's the problem, though, is he wasn't dynamic. He just wasn't dynamic. So there's no point. Like it doesn't do any harm. Doesn't do any good. I mean, why not put Troy Williams in? I mean, shockingly, he was even against USC was throwing 60% completion rate. He actually showed progress from game to game. Like maybe. Just maybe he would have gone in there and something else would have happened. The problem is, if you don't play the card, you never know what would have happened. You know? So the youths don't know. Fans don't know. Like, as much as whether it's logical or not, like, at what point it doesn't hurt to take a shot? I mean, you're losing the game. Like, that game was horrendous from kick practically. And the offense wasn't moving. So at what point does it harm you to put in a quarterback who, you know, we lost by one to USC, which granted they got obliterated by Notre Dame, still a good team, USC. So, I mean, we put up 27 points on them. I mean, Troy Williams, why not? Because as much as I agree that Huntley is the future of the team, he's a very dynamic playmaker. If he can make those plays, he's doing it, but he wasn't doing it Saturday. So there's no reason not to put Troy Williams in.
I would say the other thing about leaving Huntley in is you want a guy like that to experience losing. That's not something that Huntley has ever really happened to Huntley before, where he went out there and he just couldn't get it done. And that moment for him can be a really transformational moment for a player. And watching him at the press conference right after the game, I mean, he had tears in his eyes. He was clearly deeply hurt by what had happened out there. And still then to find the kind of presence of mind to make sure over the next week that he was taking accountability, not just for how he played as a quarterback, which was bad, but also for how he performed as a leader of the team and not being able to get the other components of the offense to work because nothing was working. You could really tell from up in the press box, you could really see that the wide receivers were not doing what they were supposed to be doing. They weren't where they were supposed to be going. They weren't getting open. They weren't competing on 50-50 balls. Two of the picks shouldn't have been picks. They should have been catches for Carrington and Moss. One of the picks was what looked like an overthrown ball, but it was supposed to be a downfield route that the receiver didn't run. It's not on video, because the camera wasn't there, but as soon as that pick was thrown, you could see the wide receiver going, oh, my God, what did I do? I'm so sorry. Like, goes over to Huntley, and Huntley's yelling at him and say, what are you doing? And as you're picking up on all this stuff, I really feel like the wide receivers had at least a significant share of the blame for what happened on offense. But I think that it's a really good experience for Huntley to experience losing, to experience what was obvious to see, kind of reading in, that he was really ticked off at the receivers, but still to recognize that I also have a responsibility as a leader of this team that if my guys don't perform, it's on me the same way it's on the coaches, because I have to prepare them for what I'm going to do, and I have to build that relationship with them. And I thought there was a real maturing moment that took place over the last week. And we'll see if it paints some of that on the field. I mean, it's hard to say. And honestly, I think a lot of what's going to make him better next week is just a week of practice and being healthier. But I think that together with the you needed Huntley to be able to come back from the deficit, and it's not a bad thing to let your guy lose sometimes. And the listeners have kids. Sometimes you'll let the kid fall down so that they can kind of experience that and learn how to get back up. And that's not something Huntley's ever had to do, because he's never lost. He was the best player in Florida his whole career in high school. He just won a starting job as a sophomore. I mean, he's never been beaten down before. And seeing how he's going to come back from that is going to be interesting.
Yeah, I personally have never had to let my kids fall because they don't. Wait, no, never mind. But, I mean, it's ridiculous. I don't know. I have nothing wrong with putting Troy Williams in there. I have nothing wrong with taking that shot. We'll see. I mean, he did have his Tim Tebow talk that, I mean, pretty much this is never going to happen again. And we'll see whether he's on with something or not. My question now begins to be, as I look at the schedule, right, we went through and won four games where we should have won, whether they were as dominant as they should have been, whatever. But now we lost two games we should have won in life. Only three teams that Utah should be wins. I predicted them as wins. I mean, granted, I wasn't on the show last week, but I would have. They should have been wins.
Yeah.
I mean, you lose by three to Stanford, by one to USC. That, there's two wins right there. Arizona State, you know, whatever. But, like, what should we have been? I guess it comes down to the teams have been – fans are fired up, they're pissed off, they're disappointed. And when it comes to expectations, I always feel it's on the coaches. So I'm just wondering, I'm trying to remember back to our season predictions, what are our expectations, what were our expectations, and how have they changed now?
Well, I think that the general Ute Nation as a whole was between six wins at the bottom and nine wins at the top. Stats didn't see that at all. Even my stats, which give a pretty darn generous bump to the Utes because they do so. I have some coaching adjustments, and Whittingham's exceeded expectations, statistical expectations, so often that I give them a bump. But between three and five wins, most of the statistical projections.
So we should probably pick on Oregon. I'm picking a win for Oregon. I guess we're out of time. Yeah, so apparently all of a sudden our devices have told us we only have a minute left. So,
here, let's quickly into Oregon in literally a minute time frame.
Oregon's bad. I think we should beat Oregon. And granted, their quarterback's supposed to be playing, but hopefully we have some players back on defense and we should shut them down. Hopefully we shut them down enough to win a game. Granted, we're playing at Oregon. Maybe we'll have another beating like we beat on them a couple years back with a nice fake punt return. I would love that. So just bring that back. You know, we should play that at least once a season at this point. But sorry for the technical issues. We could have talked a lot more Oregon. Should have talked a lot more expectations. But it is what it is. We'll talk to you guys next week. Go Utes.
Go Utes.
Thanks for listening to U Talk, brought to you by the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Network. Find us on Twitter at U Talk Podcast or email at utalk@gmail.com.